It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It's Wednesday, the 25th of January, and this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us go into the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and have worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask for your spirit to be with us. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us this morning as we continue to grow in grace and in wisdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our opening song is, It's About Time for the Coming.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Topic today is the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this is coming out of John chapter 20, and you'll see the connection on tomorrow because we are going through the book of Exodus. But it is important for us to go through this chapter and see some things, and then we will understand tomorrow's broadcast worship much better. All right. God bless you. Let's pray again. Dear Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for breathing him upon us. We ask that you would bless us now as we worship you. Oh, Lord, help us to dig deep into the Word of God and pull from it treasures that you grant to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. I'd like to say that many people claim that they don't know what day the Sabbath is. We don't know what day is the Sabbath, but actually this, there's a companion scripture. If you go to Matthew, I believe it is, Matthew chapter 28, and as we look at verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. So Jesus, it's amazing that nobody knows, or people say they don't know what day is the Sabbath, but they always know what day Jesus rose. Well, the Bible says Jesus rose the day after the Sabbath. Okay, so there you have it, friends. And if everybody knows that what they call Easter is on Sunday, representing the resurrection, then the Sabbath is the day before. The day before Sunday is Saturday, because the evening and the morning was the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. And the Bible tells us at even when the sun did set. Okay, we know then that evening is at the setting of the sun. So the Sabbath is from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That is where we spend quality time with the Lord, having prepared for that time the earlier part of Friday and gotten ready for the Sabbath so we can just spend that date with God, that special time with God. That's not our subject today, but I wanted to bring that into the subject today because it talked about the first day of the week. Then she runneth. This is John chapter 20, verse 2. Then she runneth. Let me just go back to verse 1. For the first day of the week, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom she loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Now, John is writing. He is that other disciple. That's maybe why he's saying it that way. He's the one the Bible says Jesus loved. He loved all of them. But what happened is John took a special interest more than the others and stayed closer to Jesus. So he was named the disciple he loved because he loved Jesus in a more intense way, and therefore he that love reciprocated in a more intense way. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus rose, he made his bed. Did we hear what the Spirit of God is telling us? When Jesus rose, he made his bed. They saw that kind of wrapped together. It was actually wrapped together. And this teaches us a wonderful lesson. God is a God of order. He's a God of order and structure. He has all things under his control. Just look at the human machinery and the intricacy and the delicate mechanisms and all of the fine processes and substances that make and comprise the human body. Oh, my friend, evolution could not do that. It could not do that. And so I am here to tell you that it takes PhDs just to understand more than the rest of us of the body, but they don't understand all the mysteries, my friends. And there are specialty PhDs and scientists of other types. You have molecular chemistry, molecular biology. You have cellular biology. You have all types of neurosciences and all kinds of specialties just to understand the human body. You've got to have a special kind of doctor called a dermatologist just to study the skin. You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? God is a God of order. And so when Jesus rose, as they saw these things wrapped, that would suggest he made his bed. It means that he wants things to be done in order, and even the resurrection. You know, they just throw the clothes and say, I'm Jesus the Lord. No, he stopped and he made his bed. So let's keep things in order as much as possible. And if you struggle with that, you can get better. I'm a living witness, my friends. You can get better and better and better until people looking at you would think that you were born teaching order and structure. Okay? God is good. It does come easier for some than others. Some were raised in a more orderly way than others, but all of us, as we get closer to Christ, will come into order. All right, friends. And the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen, but wrapped together in a place by itself, then wherein also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Now, here's the thing. They didn't believe Jesus when he already told them that he was going to be raised from the dead. This believed is not talking about the belief in the resurrection. They just didn't believe Mary when she said he's not there, okay? So we tend to, a life lesson here, we tend to believe negative things much faster than we believe positive things. We tend to believe that this world is, all the bad things that are going to happen in the end time event just because somebody said it and some preacher said it, and they make you think that in 2 months, you know, there's no food on the shelves, but we don't believe the Lord when he said that he's going to take care of us and that he has everything in his hand. Okay, just a thought. Let's keep in mind, let's stay in the word, in the scriptures. They teach us that God is in control. It will be bad. God will allow the devil to do his final act of drama, but God is still in control, and we must understand that, believe that, and act upon that. That doesn't mean we do nothing. We should be looking. We should be striving to be and praying together, seeking God. But let's remember, the work has to be done. Sometimes we're selfish and we only think about ourselves, and we're not thinking about telling people about Jesus and his soon return. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed, and yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So there's your proof that when he said he believed, it wasn't that they believed he had risen. They believed he wasn't there. Then the disciple went away unto, the disciples went away unto their own home. Now they went away sorrowful. This is represented in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days they ate unleavened bread, not believing. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now, this is the woman from whom Jesus had cast 7 devils, and she loved him because he delivered her, a love that many of us can't understand, because a lot of people look down on her. A woman with 7 devils has all kinds of problems, friends. Lived all kinds of sinful, I don't want to say lived sinful lives, only had one life. Lived a life full of all types of sins, perfect number of sins, okay? But yet Jesus delivered her, and therefore she fell in love with him. She took her life savings and poured it at his feet to anoint his body, because he had to be quickly pulled off the cross because they crucified him on Friday. And the Jews, in their Pharisaism, they did not want to have the bodies on the Sabbath day. So they pulled the bodies down. They killed the other two by breaking their legs and they would suffocate. When they came to Jesus, he was dead already. They took his body down and laid it in the sepulcher of Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus saith unto her, now Jesus is in the picture, woman, why weepest thou? No, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. Verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Sometimes we can be so depressed and so in disbelief, we can look at Jesus straight in the face and not know it's him. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if ye have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now Jesus spoke to her in love and compassion. She still didn't understand his voice. And that's why she felt comfortable to talk to him and ask, because she felt the comfort in his voice. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus saith unto her, watch this. This is what we'll talk about tomorrow. Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So that means from that morning until right at the evening hour, which would have been the beginning of the next day, actually, but they said the first day of the week, meaning that was that same day, it was at even, meaning the evening hadn't fully come into the next day, Jesus shows up. That means he had to go and ascend before his Father because he wouldn't let anybody touch him. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. That's where that beautiful song comes from, so send I you. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. Beautiful verse, beautiful song. All right, so send I you. All right, and it says in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So John 20:22 is a nice scripture because it shows us that breath is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's why it said in John 3 that when Jesus talked about the Spirit, being born of the Spirit, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know from whence it came. So is he that is born of the Spirit. All right. It goes on to say in verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. Now, brothers and sisters, let me back up a little bit. It didn't say when he appeared that morning to them on the first day of the week. I'm sorry, he appeared to Mary the morning, and that later that day he appeared to some of the disciples. When he appeared to them, it didn't say anybody touched him. Remember, he said, touch me not, I have not yet ascended. So I can't say he ascended right away. He may have ascended after that. He showed himself to the apostles and the disciples. But he did ascend, and he came back, it says, 8 days later, and then he let somebody touch him. So that's what I want to say. Somewhere between that resurrection day and those 8 days later, Jesus did ascend because he let him touch him. He let him put his fingers in that wounded side, those wounded hands. Now, Jesus had a glorified body. It didn't hurt, but you still saw the print. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, those nail prints in his hands, those nail prints in his feet, that pierced side will remain with Jesus forever and will be the only sign in heaven that there was ever a sinful world. Jesus will bear those signs, not us. We will have glorified bodies, and all of our imperfections will be taken away. Praise God. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. In the Jewish economy, they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. So we know it was 7 days from the resurrection to the time that he let them touch him. And I believe that there were times, those were times of challenge. Did they see a ghost? Was he really there? They were struggling to know, was it really him, you know, and all of that. So may God bless you, friends, and understand Jesus did rise from the dead, and we're going to learn more about what he did when he went to ascend unto his Father as we go back tomorrow to the book of Exodus. God is good, friends. Jesus is risen, and his resurrection, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, in the book of Acts. Let's just go before we close out to the book of Acts. And we're going to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 30. It says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So Christ's resurrection from the dead was not to change the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. It was an assurance that Jesus will judge this wicked world, my friends, and we want him to judge the world. We want to be judged so that he can put that stamp of approval on all those who choose to serve him and be obedient. I want that. How about you? God is good. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this thought today. Bless us as we go through our day. Help us to have pure hearts. Create in us a clean heart. David said, create in me. We should all ask personally, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, and good morning to my brother Peyton. God bless you. And we are going to transition now to the wellness segment from Sister Lydia. She'll talk about parasites and the immune system. So at this time, we'll take a intermission with our torso song. And that will be the next thing that you will hear.
Hypertension with a brand new start. answer. It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. and said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
At this time, give me a second here. We will soon hear from Sister Lenny. And let me just make sure we get her on. Okay. And she'll be talking about parasites and the immune system. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Parasites and the immune system. The immune system is our first line of defense against invading bacteria, viruses, and parasites. Immunity against most pathogens begins with a strong gut function. If we have a properly working digestive system, our stomachs will be able to make enough hydrochloric acid to destroy most ingested parasites. However, there is 80% of all Americans suffering from some form of weakened digestive system, leaving us vulnerable to parasitic infection. We know that it is first in the stomach and then in the intestines and colon that parasites take up residency. A healthy digestive system is able to fight disease on many levels. If that fine line of defense is down, then our immunity functioning is compromised. What is a parasite? A parasite is an organism that lives in or on an organism of another species. Treatment for parasites, step one, cleanse your intestinal tract. And I know that you can do that by using organic therapeutic coffee enemas. It's like a form of colon cleanse, you know. It removes toxins from the blood. It detoxifies the liver, the gallbladder. It's really good to use for that, and it will rid you of parasites. Step two, eating healing foods, avoiding foods that are harmful. And you have to do that by using organic plant-based foods. I know garlic and onions, bromelain foods such as pineapples. You can drink beet juice, carrots, cucumbers, ginger. All of these things will help with parasites. Step three, administer effective substances to eliminate the parasites by drinking lots of water, flushing your system. Step four, help your gastrointestinal tract with friendly bacteria, fiber, grains, legumes, beans, yogurt. Now, yogurt, I have not found any yogurt that is, now I found some dairy-free. I haven't found any organic. I've never found any without sugar. If there's some out there, you know, I haven't found them, and I, you know, yogurt is really good for the bacteria, you know, having friendly bacteria. Step five, eliminate parasitic risk factors from your lifestyle and environment to avoid reinfection. In order to do that, it is to know your common sources of the parasitic infection. Exercise, walking, running, doing exercise, like 30 minutes that will oxygenate the body, will really, really help with preventing parasites. Now, if you are not a person who looks in the toilet after you eliminate, when you start the cleansing of your body, I encourage you to do so. But don't be surprised when you see something looking back at you. They're called parasites. Thank you, and may God bless you from head to toe.
Amen. Tell you what, we're going to get those things out of us. Amen. All right. Well, we have on the Facebook, we have representation from Florida, representation from North Carolina, and representation from Virginia. Welcome to you all. And on the call, we have representation from Georgia, South Carolina, from Ohio, from Missouri, from Delaware, from Maryland again. We also have representation from Alabama and from Ohio. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. All right, friends, phone lines are open. If you have a comment or question, of course, we have some wonderful greetings from Peyton Almond and from a dear friend of mine. Saying good morning to all of us, and we wish you all a good morning back. And if there is anyone on the call, please feel free to press star 6. We have about 20 minutes, a little bit more than 20 minutes, if anyone wants to share anything on the call. All right, we've got our dear sister from Ohio on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning. Dear sister, check your mute. You might be muted.
Good morning.
Okay.
And God,
good morning.
Good morning and God bless everyone. I just wanted to, first of all, thank Sister Lenny for sharing today. And I wanted to let you all know that there are actually a couple of companies that do sugar-free and dairy-free yogurt. The first company is So Delicious. And the second company is Kite, like a kite that you fly, and the word Hill, H-I-L-L. Both of them, now I'm not sure about the Kite Hill, because most of their products are almond milk made anyway, so all they would need to do is take out the sugar. But I know So Delicious does dairy-free and unsweetened yogurt in the same container. So thank you all again. Welcome home and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Here, before you go, you know if it's organic.
Do I know if it's organic? Well,
yes.
So Delicious, usually, So Delicious and Kite Hill both are usually organic. So. But,
okay,
you know, you guys do your research on it and I just wanted to put it out there, that's all.
Yes, we appreciate it. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Sister Donna.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, friends, is there anyone else that would like to say anything or share anything or ask a question or give a testimony before we close out the broadcast today? All right, it's time for our closing prayer. I'll turn it over to my wife, Andrea, at this time.
Yeah, I just want to thank Sister Donna for coming on and saying that. That's exactly the yogurt that we use, and it's extremely delicious yogurt. So it is organic, non-GMO. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We thank you for your loving watch here. We thank you for your word, and may we continue to study these things out for ourselves, asking your spirit to give us clarity for more understanding so we can have a knowledge and understanding of all the things that we read and study. We ask that you would help us to draw close to you and be with us, Lord, throughout this day as we continue to work unto you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, my friends, let me just check something. Okay, that's good. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And no, you see, Let me start all over.
With persecution.
And he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed up. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord, and we have our dear sister Salita saying, she's right, I eat the coconut milk yogurt one. She's referring to Be So Delicious, I believe that was referred to earlier. All right, friends, closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord. Let me cue that up. I thought it was, but it's not, so just give me a second. We'll have our closing song. All right.
I will worship the Lord. I will worship.